Welcome to GoGo Radio, exclusively on GoGo.com. I'm Mike Simpson, and today we will be talking about memory management and garbage collection in Java. For those of you who don't know me, I am an expert in Java and have been working and teaching in this technology for over 10 years, and in computing technologies in general for over 25 years. I welcome your input, and I look forward to your comments and questions. So be sure to use the question box on this page. A Java program typically creates many objects from a variety of classes. These objects interact with each other by sending each other messages. The program can use these object interactions to implement a graphical user interface, run an animation, or send and receive information over a network. Once an object has completed the work for which it was created, the object is garbage collected and its resources are recycled for use by other objects. This presentation will be subdivided into three topics: object creation, the basics of garbage collection, and techniques for avoiding memory leaks. First, we will talk about object creation. In Java, you create an object by creating an instance of a class, or in other words, instantiating a class. We often use a single statement in Java to perform three tasks: declaring a variable reference, instantiating the class, and assigning the variable reference to the newly instantiated object, and initializing the newly instantiated object. The new operator instantiates a class by allocating memory for a new object of that type. New requires a single postfix argument, a call to a constructor. Each Java class provides a set of constructors used to initialize new arguments of that type. The new operator creates the object, and the constructor initializes it. Classes may provide one or more constructors to initialize a new object of that type. You can recognize a class's constructors because they have the same name as the class and they have no return type. If a class has multiple constructors, they will all have the same name, but a different number or type of arguments. The compiler differentiates the constructors and knows which one to call depending on the arguments. A constructor that takes no arguments is the default constructor. If a class does not explicitly define any constructors at all, Java automatically provides a no-argument constructor that does nothing. Thus, all classes have at least one constructor. Next, we'll talk about the basics of garbage collection. The garbage collector first performs a task called marking. The garbage collector goes through the application starting with the root objects. The root objects are objects that are represented by all the active stack frames and all the static variables loaded into the system. Each object that the garbage collector meets is marked as being used and will not be deleted in the sweeping stage. The sweeping stage is where the deletion of the objects takes place. There's many ways to delete an object. The traditional way, as practiced in C, is to mark the space as free and let the allocator methods use complex data structures to search the memory for the required free space. This was later improved by providing a defragmenting system that compacted memory by moving objects closer to each other, removing any fragments of free space, and therefore allowing the allocation to be much faster. For that to be possible, a new idea was introduced in garbage collected languages. Even though objects were represented by references, much as in C, they didn't really reference the real memory location. Instead, they referred to a location in a dictionary, which kept track of where the object happened to be at any given moment. Fortunately for us, but unfortunately for the garbage collection algorithms, servers and personal computers got faster and multiple processors, and they got bigger memory capacities. So compacting memory areas this large often became rather taxing on the application, particularly if you consider that when doing that, the whole application had to freeze due to changes in the virtual memory map. Now, how could we improve that? Well, the garbage collection algorithms got improved in several ways. They got improved through the use of concurrency. They got improved in the use of parallelization. and they got improved through the use of a technique called generational collection. Let me take a side moment to talk about generational collection. Java objects got categorized in an application based upon their lifetime. Some objects were short-lived, such as local variables, and some objects are long-lived, such as those that contribute to the backbone of the application. The idea behind generational garbage collection was made possible by understanding that in an application's lifetime, most instantiated objects tend to be short-lived, and that there are relatively few connections between long-lived objects and short-lived objects. So in order to take advantage of this information, the memory space got divided into two sections, young generation and old generation. In Java, the long-lived objects, the old generation objects, got further divided again into permanent objects and old generation objects. Permanent objects would usually be objects that the Java virtual machine itself would create for caching, like coding information or reflection information, things like that. Old generation objects would be objects that would survive a few garbage collections in the young generation area. Since we know that objects in the young generation area memory space, they would become garbage early, the garbage collector would collect that area frequently while leaving the old generation's memory space to be collected in larger intervals. So the young generation memory space is much smaller, so they would have shorter collection times. We'd garbage collect that much more often. An additional advantage to that knowledge that objects die quickly in the young generation memory space area, we can also skip the compacting step rather than trying to compact the memory and do something else called copying. Instead of seeking free areas, you could copy the live areas or the live objects from one young generation area to another young generation area for doing the garbage collection. The originating area is called the from area and the target area is called the to area. So the objects that are going to live to the next generation get copied from the from to the to. And then after the copying, the roles switch. The from becomes the to and the to becomes the from. By using the copying method, garbage collection achieves defragmentation without seeking for dead memory blocks. However, this method proves itself to be most efficient in areas where most objects are garbage, so it's not necessarily a good approach to take on the old generation memory area. Indeed, that area is still collected using the compacting algorithm, but now, thanks to the separation of young and old generations, it's done in much larger intervals. Our final topic in today's presentation is on memory leaks in Java. Now, what sort of memory leaks are possible in Java and how do I prevent them? This may seem a little bit interesting because a lot of folks have said that because we don't have to worry about doing garbage collection, you may not have to worry about memory leaks, but they certainly do exist. Application level memory management problems in any computing language revolve around the deallocation of memory. And these problems fall into two categories. You can have premature deallocation of memory, and that would be a result of corrupted pointers, and you can have incomplete deallocation of memory, and that would be memory leaks. Now, in the case of incomplete deallocation, there are two subcases. You could have a coding bug, or you could have a design bug. Coding bugs are language dependent. Now, in the case of C, that would involve calling free to free memory more times than you call malloc to allocate memory. Now in C++, that might involve using delete to just free an individual chunk of memory rather than calling array delete to delete a whole array of memory. Now design bugs, on the other hand, they don't depend upon the language. They just involve simple programmer errors. Now in languages such as C or C++, all memory management is handled by the programmer. So all of these programs can arise even after the programmer has put out a lot of effort to ensure that the code is free of such defects. In fact, in C or C++, the more that you try to avoid memory leaks, the more likely you are to create corrupted pointers, and vice versa. And by nature, the risk of such bugs increases with code size and complexity, so it's somewhat difficult to protect large C or C++ applications from these types of bugs. Now, if we switch back to Java, The Java language and runtime together entirely eliminate the problems of corrupted pointers and code-level memory leaks. And here's how it does that. First, in Java, memory is allocated only to objects. There is no explicit allocation of memory. There is only the creation of new objects. Java even treats array types as objects. You actually find that in Java, array is itself a class. Second, the Java runtime employs a garbage collector that reclaims the memory occupied by an object once it determines that the object is no longer accessible. That's what all those graphs were that we talked about earlier. This automatic process makes it safe to throw away unneeded object references because the garbage collector will not collect the object if it is still needed elsewhere. Therefore, in Java, the act of letting go of unneeded references will never run the risk of deallocating memory prematurely. Third, in Java, it's easy to let go of an entire tree of objects, a whole array, for example, or set of objects, by setting the reference to the tree's root to null. The garbage collector will then reclaim all of the objects, unless some of the objects are needed elsewhere. This is a lot easier than coding each of the object's destructors, which is the reverse of the constructor, to let go of its own dependencies, which you would have to do in C++. That's a coding level problem with that particular language. So, what about memory leaks that were caused by poor problem design? Well, in such designs, unnecessary object references that originate in long-lived parts of the system prevent the garbage collector from reclaiming objects that are in fact no longer needed. For example, you might have a program that essentially runs in an infinite loop where you create an object, and the infinite loop is always creating new of these objects or additional ones on the object each time through the loop, but you only really needed to create it once. But if you're creating it every time it goes through the loop, you're creating more and more of these things that you never really needed. Such errors typically involve a failure in the large to properly encapsulate object references among various parts of the code. Another design flaw can occur in the small at the level of a faulty algorithm. You may have a procedure that you go through that isn't quite thought through as well. The use of collections objects in such cases will typically magnify the error. Some of you may be familiar with the use of a collection to represent a whole set of objects, and so using collections to represent a whole array of objects can make things even worse. As the technology improves, a suitably implemented Java virtual machine could help reduce the effects of such designed-in memory leaks by using the garbage collector to track object usage over time. The garbage collector could then rearrange objects in memory according to a freshness factor, based on when they were last referenced, for example. Stale objects would then become eligible for physical RAM swap-out, even though for safety they would still exist. Ideally, of course, as a programmer, you would design your applications with the object's life cycles in mind rather than relying on clever features of state-of-the-art Java virtual machine implementations. So, in conclusion, you would want to mitigate your design problems by letting go of object references in one's own classes as soon as one can, knowing that in Java there is no risk of damaging another part of the code. So basically what that means is create objects using new as late as you can and get rid of the object using delete as quickly as you can. As a side note to this, implementations of Sun's Java Virtual Machine prior to Sun release 1.3, which is known as the Hotspot release, used a technique called conservative garbage collection, and that could introduce memory leaks of its own beyond those caused by the programmer. Now, under conservative garbage collection, as long as the application happened to have a 32-bit integer variable in it, whose value happened to coincide with the address of the object, of an object, the garbage collector would not reclaim the object. So you just might happen to have some integer variable whose value happened to be some number. Let's say it was 22,336, for example. Now, if that also happened to be the address of an object in your application, the garbage collector would not reclaim that object. So, although that likelihood is very small, it's not zero. Now, obviously, we wouldn't want to have that happen, and if you're using Sun JVM version 1.3 or later, you have the hotspot technology which gets around that problem. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation. I look forward to your comments and to your questions. You can email your input to me by using the question box found on this page. I will be answering your questions and I'll be replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you again for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.